Welcome to another episode of KXRW Sports Talk from the Couve. Thank you for joining us here as we come back from our little holiday hiatus, as brief as it was, but it was good for everyone here in the studio. We got involved here, as always, David Mace joining us.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Patrick McLaughlin, co-host of Wizards of Wrestling here on KXRW and Roundtable Pro Wrestling commentator in-house.
That's me, and that's really cool to hear those titles in front of my name. Glad to be here.
Glad to help you out with that, Patrick. Also, special guest here today with us, Rip Rex, current RTPW champion and our KXRW high school correspondent, joining us in studio once again.
Good to be here. Very excited to talk all things sports, especially local high school.
And I'll send it over to our leader, Wireless Mike Koreski, with another special introduction.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Sunny. Let's see, we also need to mention our captain, Connor Flynn, producer with the most, and also sitting in. We decided to give you a double special guest shot today, just like back in the day. And it is Bobby Pallotta from Bobby P Media. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Glad to be with you guys.
You keeping it real?
I am.
Okay. Yeah. It's as real as it gets. You hear him off mic. Sure, we know.
Bobby Pallotta, head of Bobby P Media, as you said. Also local sports producer, camera operator, media professional. He's doing everything on the local and national level. And we're happy to have him join us here in studio with us today.
And a big Old Man Metal fan. That's your best thing.
Yep.
So we're taking it around the horn. We wanted to give a quick Christmas recap from each one of us, a real quick one. So, Rex, your favorite Christmas present?
Oh man, I really wish you wouldn't have started with me, because I'm gonna set the bar really high. So my sister gave birth to my second nephew.
Aww. Oh, that's awesome!
That was our gift. That we didn't get a chance to hang out with my sister or my nephews on Christmas Day because of everything going on and everything, but getting to see him a few days after, and after my sister's had some rest. And awesome. Truett Johnson is his
nice
name.
Nice.
Yeah,
love it.
It's actually really cool. So I've got three nephews technically, because one nephew is like a half nephew of if I guess. Sure. I don't know how, step nephew, I guess.
Right.
But his name is Bentley Johnson, and then we've got Truett Johnson, and then we've got Stetson Johnson.
Man, that is like, regal.
I'm like, all three of those sound like offensive lineman names.
Yeah, I was thinking a lot.
Good
I was
call.
Thinking, I was thinking
football
a
names
firm.
In general. Football names in general, but like that, yeah, law
I'm thinking
firm.
Thinking a law firm, man.
Johnson, Johnson, and Johnson.
Yeah.
but all three of them are cowboy names. Like cowboy they could start a posse. If this world ends and they go and become cowboys or something.
They're going to rule the apocalypse,
man. Great names for when they become gunslingers.
Okay, well, congrats on that. Mr. Patrick, what you got for Christmas? What was good for you?
My partner got me, you know, those little libraries? I got one of those. And you can't see, but I'm wearing a shirt that says, I'm with a band that has all these banned books. I'm a huge advocate for free speech and First Amendment rights and trying to do what I can to take a stand against the unprecedented book bans that are happening across the country. Mm-hmm. And so ideally I'd like to set up this little free library in front of our house and stock it full of books that have been challenged and banned across the country.
Well, that is hashtag soul metal.
Exactly.
So we're clear, banned, B-A-N-N-E-D.
Yep. Yeah.
That is quite so cool.
The best books are the banned books. I see my favorite book of all time on there, Catcher in the Rye, Of Mice and Men, A Wrinkle in Time, Harry Potter even.
Yeah, if you look at some of them that are banned in different school districts around the country and stuff, there's some ridiculous reasons why they're challenging.
Silly.
Yeah, and silly. I'm hoping the tide turns, as history always says it does. Censorship doesn't always last forever. The tide eventually crashes, but hoping... I mean, I try to do my part to try to make that wave break. So that was really cool to get that gift.
Cool. Looks pretty sharp on you, too, by the way.
Thank you.
Nice green to go.
Thank you.
Sonny, I know you're holding something, grinning like a big old Cheshire cat.
Always.
What you got?
I'm going to take it way down, but do it real quickly. My wife got me an amazing duplicative gift here. Got a Kraken-style Pearl Jam sweater, which I'm wearing, and I look so good in it. So, but also to go with that, we got
killing me.
I do. Yes,
modest.
As I do. It takes a lot of work. So I mean, I appreciate her effort on that. But she also got me this Pearl Jam vinyl, a live concert from Chicago at the Metro in 1992. And we're talking March of 1992. So not even later in the year where they were hitting their incredible peak. And that's just cool for me on a number of different ways. Plus, she got us a really cool record player that with Bluetooth speakers that we can have in the house. And we've been playing that since Christmas, doing all the Christmas albums and this amazing Pearl Jam album, which I knew like my would really appreciate. And
that fits because you guys talked about the Vetter Cup and everything.
That's right. She jumped all
Stop
of that.
And
she did
Stop
pretty
it.
Much amazing as far as her gift giving.
Maybe
goes.
We'll have to feature that on the show. One of the tracks. Pick a track.
We've got.
Yeah.
When we
get it on video. Oh yes, we will be on video. We're going to be seeing that.
Me next.
I guess so, Macy. Talk to me, buddy.
Well,
you got big news, anyways.
Mine happened 4 days after on my birthday. I proposed to my girlfriend, so now she is my fiance. She said yes.
Yay!
So
yay.
Wow. I can't top that one.
Well done. All right.
Very nicely done.
Well deserved.
Bobbo, what do you got for Christmas memories, man, or Christmas gifts? You went out of town for a little bit as a Christmas gift.
Yeah, my daughter took us away to. Into the woods.
Of Leavenworth.
Oh, yeah. Very cool. Love that area.
The Bavarian village town.
Yeah. Did you see the tree lighting and everything?
Yep, we did it.
Did you eat any really, really stinky cheese? There is a cheese shop.
We did go to the cheese shop.
You did go to the cheese shop. Okay.
We ate just about every piece of cheese.
Burger.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And you, did you hang out with the Nutcracker Museum, too?
Yep.
Did you see all that?
Nutcracker Museum. We even met Santa.
Oh, nice.
See Santa.
No wonder you've had such a good holiday season, man. The big man.
No, just busy.
All righty, Connor, talk to me about yours.
Well, I observe Hanukkah. That was the week before Christmas. Mm-hmm. And then for Christmas, my parents were out of town. They were in Hawaii checking out the islands, doing the cruise to and from. So best Christmas present I feel like I got was going out to the movies with a friend. Fellow host here, Patrick McLaughlin. We went and saw Marty Supreme.
Yay.
Aww.
And that ties right into sports talk, table tennis. People go out and see Marty Supreme. It's like the most outstanding Timothée Chalamet role you've ever seen yet. And I don't think I've ever been more interested in table tennis. I suck, so usually I'm like, nah, I'm good. I don't want to play. But, you know, getting a volley is really difficult. And seeing these guys, I'm sure Timothy and the other actors had to, you know, dial in their skill because they were on screen. Literally, they weren't like, you know, people hitting the ball as, stunt actors. They were literally doing it and, you know, doing the most amazing moves and up in the air.
I'm biased because I'm a huge Bob Dylan fan. So I don't.
And I am too. But
I don't. I won't say that his performance was better than Bob Dylan, but again, that's my personal
preference.
I
guess I need to watch it again. That was last year.
But,
this year it's
my
fresh
thing,
roll.
Timothée Chalamet is, I equally like him as much as I hate him because he's too good. He is a very talented, very young, got his whole career in front of him, and he's already so well established. It's very impressive.
All right.
And,
see it.
Marty Supreme was great. The Safdie brothers directed it. Had a lot of intensity, similar to their previous film, Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
And
all right,
Epiphany.
Still in theaters.
There we go.
Yeah,
and
go see Marty Supreme,
what do you got, Mike?
And then I'll wrap up. Let's see. The wonderful wife got me a gift. It was a fun T-shirt. It was the. It's the Houston Astros minor league team.
The Trash Pandas?
No. That was somebody else. That they used to be the Trash Pandas. Now they're the Space Explorers or something. Yeah, this really cool shirt with like a guy standing there, but he's got the universe in him.
Oh,
you can see the universe.
Cool. Well, don't they have like alternate mascots now? Isn't that like a like the there's like a team that's the Bay Sox, but also the
all of them.
The minor leagues are starting to dip in there.
Hops do that too. They have a secondary Oysters. One. Like it's usually based on a you know an ethic thing in the locality that they have there, and so Hillsborough does that really well. They do a bunch of different because they also have a combination with the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they do that too.
Speaking of local,
let's speak of Christmas gifts. The best gift that we got really for Christmas is we got to do the Les Schwab Invitational and got that to see a lot of local high school hoops in both from Washington, both from Oregon, and
across
the country coming into play. And actually, all of us got to see high school hoops at some level. So we're going to.
Yeah, you got it. So we were able to
see. Too.
Oh, my.
Oh, the swag was. It was dripping. Nice. It was. So, the drip was there.
We got to watch the number one player in the country as well as the state of Washington, Tyron Stokes, from Rainier Beach in Seattle area. So they played this tournament, and then they went and played in a tournament in Arizona, turned right around and did that. Fantastic player. I mean, he's about, 6'8", I think, or so.
6'8", yep.
And he kind of reminds me of what LeBron was in his second tour in Cleveland. He's just so much better than the average ball player because he can kind of dictate the offense, pass it to where he wants it to go, and then when he needs to – when the offense is stalled, he's the one who goes to the basket and a fantastic three-point shot.
He operated on every level for me. You were talking about, you know, what he can do on the court, but he's selfless. He's selfish when he needs to be.
Yeah.
And he does it on offense, defense, and inside and outside.
And the creative dunks.
And he's got the attitude of a future star. He really does. I commend him on that.
Just
really.
Fantastic.
We saw those individuals, and we saw a lot of really good teams that played as well. We saw both things there. We saw three of the top 10 teams in the country come into this event that was down in Portland at Portland State University.
Yeah,
and we
saw
5 days of just some of the most amazing basketball. Sold out for a couple of those days. We were at max capacity for a couple of those games.
The first night Rainier Beach played. That was
fabulous. Which and one of the Oregon teams
upset,
got him.
Southridge. Yeah, huge upset.
Huge upset.
So anyway, so fantastic to see him going around here, seeing what they've seen. Rex, talk about high school hoops here for Mr. Consultant.
Absolutely. Well, it's
correspondent
funny.
Consultant.
It's funny that you guys were able to catch those games because I've actually got some lists for you. What would a consultant be if they didn't have a bunch of lists.
Saucy.
So they just recently released the basketball RPI for 4A, 3A, 2A, 1A, for all of basketball for the state of Washington. So I'm going to go down the list for you guys, and I'm going to ask, should we start with 1 and go to 4, or should we go to 4 to 1?
You want to go 4? 1 to 4.
1 to 4? All right.
1 to 4. And so we do have to get around here, so keep
the
it
ladies.
Moving.
So we're gonna go ladies first here. We're gonna go at number 10. We got Lakeside. Number 9, Cashmere. Number 8, Mount Baker. Number 7, the local Seton Catholic. Number 6, Wapato. Number 5, we've got Kings. Number 4, we've got Bellevue Christian. Number 3, we've got Cascade Christian. Number 2, we've got Linden Christian. And then at your number 1 spot, we've got Zilla. Now I don't know if you guys have any opinions on that list, but we're gonna move on to the boys.
We've got
Summit Sierra at 10. We've got Vashon Island at 9.
Vashon Island.
Very familiar. Wapato at number 8.
Wapato.
All right.
Sorry, Rex.
No worries. Number 7, we've got Cascade Christian. Number 6, we've got Chelan. Number 5, we've got Annie Wright. Number 4, we've got Royal. Number 3, we've got Seattle Christian. Number 2, Linden Christian. And then number 1, we're going to hear this one again, we've got Zilla. Sounds like they've got quite the couple of programs down there.
Yeah, well, amongst the wineries, you got some hoops.
So for the next couple of lists, we're going to have a couple of names you guys might recognize. But for the girls, I'm going to give you guys your top 3. You got number 3, Clarkston. You got number 2, Deer Park. Number 1, Linden. And, that's going to be your top 3 for that.
That's all we need.
Number 2, for the 2A boys, Give a couple of shout-outs to R.A. Long, who's sitting at number two, Woodland, who's sitting at number three, and your number one is Anacortes.
All right.
Very cool.
So 3A girls basketball, shout-out to Evergreen, sitting at number nine here locally in Vancouver. But your top three are Shelton, Bellevue, and Roosevelt. It's a fun little list there. For the boys, quick little shout out. Sitting at number eight, Prairie High School here in Vancouver.
That's where I'm graduated from.
Yeah.
always good at basketball.
Connor's place.
Always good at basketball. They are. Our top three for 3A, we've got Monroe, we've got Bellevue, and number one, Rainier Beach.
Yeah, who we just talked about.
For the 4A girls, just a quick little rundown of the list. Okay, shout out to sitting at number four, Union High School from here in Vancouver. But our top three are Gonzaga Prep, Chenoa, and number one, Davis for your 4A girls.
Davis from Yucca Vegas.
Ah. this one's a little near and dear to my heart because I work and coach at this high school. But sitting at number 10 for the boys, 4A, shout out to Skyview High School.
Yay. The storm is coming.
Yeah. They're working really hard. Your number three is Lake Washington. Your number two is Auburn. And at number one, you have Richland.
All righty. So we're going to take a break. The segment went a little over, but we're going to continue it into the next segment, because we all got high school things to talk about. So, we got more coming your way after these messages.
KXRW, this is your captain, Rip Rex, with Roundtable Pro Wrestling. We're bringing wrestling back to Vancouver. You can catch us every first Sunday live here on KXRW or in person at the new House of Action at the American Legion here in Vancouver, Washington. First bell is at 6. Get your tickets now.
The Clark County Food Bank's website has a map and printable location list where you can pick up or donate food. Find it online at clarkcountyfoodbank.org and click on Find Food. That's clarkcountyfoodbank.org.
Welcome back to Sports Talk from the Couve. Thanks so much for joining us back again. We're going to piggyback off the last segment and throw it back over to David Macy. He's going to go over some local talent from schools such as Skyview, Camas, and R.A. Long. Take it away, David.
Yeah, thanks, James. So I've seen probably about six or seven teams in this area the last few weeks, and I'm kind of just going to go through like my top five prospects that I've seen during this time. So my number five is out of Camas. His name is Mason Hamilton. He's a 6'7 guard who's got a full ride committed to Boise State. I saw him against Evergreen the other night. He had some really good intangibles. My number four would be Josh Crane for R.A. Long, who's small forward. My number three is also from R.A. Long, Lumberjack, point guard Cam Newsom. And then a little bit intangibles with my top two. My number two will be Malachi Weimer from Skyview High School. Some of the things I really liked on him is he had some really good court vision. He's very athletic, really good playmaker as well. He seemed to do a really good job trying to get his other teammates involved. And really similar to my number one prospect, who is the number two prospect in the state of Washington, who does have a full ride already committed to Iowa. He's going to be a Hawkeye. His name is Ethan Harris, and he's a 6'8 guard also from Camas. He also sees the court really well, and some of the things that I enjoyed about him is both games their team was up by double digits, and I'm watching him cheer on his teammates all the way through. He's coaching his teammates on the floor. Kind of a lot of Mike Dunleavy Jr. vibes for me, and also a little bit of Casey Jacobson, who played for the University of Stanford. But we got some really good talent in this area. So,
yeah, very nice. And Ethan Harris played in last year's Les Schwab Invitational. He made the all-tournament team as a junior. And the thing is, when you have that height of his, 6'8", with all that playmaking ability, that's kind of like Stokes.
Yeah.
Same thing when you have these guys with the size, but they can dribble and shoot and see the court. It's crazy compared to how it used to be.
No, absolutely. I could see him as a two guard at Iowa.
All right. That'll work. Okay. And now we'll go over to Mr. Bobby Pallotta because he has some experience with the high school hoops. Having produced the last couple of Les Schwab Invitationals. And you've shot all kinds of stuff with
high
school.
You guys make me sound dumb. Like,
yeah, whatever, man. We're nothing without you.
Like, all you, I'm listening to David. I'm listening to all you guys, and you're all like you know your stuff. And all I do is shoot, like, and I'm a producer for sports.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Like, I know.
If we sound good, it's because we've worked with you making us sound good, Bob.
But I know nothing. Like, I.
You and I are kind of in the same boat.
Yeah, like, I know nothing.
And yet, without you guys, without our amazing producers,
we got nothing.
We wouldn't have got started doing this.
Yeah.
We wouldn't be as good doing this. We wouldn't be good doing this going forward.
We're just looking.
We come off of your competence and your leadership.
Well, without you guys are great.
Without the producers, we're just staring in our mirrors at home.
Throw me on. Try. Hey, David, go edit some camera work. What's that?
I just want to be on it.
Edit our show down 2 minutes out of, take 2 minutes out of our show because we can't stop talking about sports and movies and wrestling and all of these things.
Yeah,
good luck on that, Connor. Get it up by Monday.
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah. I'm putting together all the graphics, and I'm like, I got an iPad in front of me, and I'm like, oh, yeah, David, put in the teams.
That's about all I can do.
We all got our own talents. Everybody's got their own talents. You know, like I recognize Mike when I worked for him, James, and, of course, David, I recognize his talent. You know, there's a lot of talent when it comes to, local sports. And to be a commentator is a very tough job, very tough job.
Absolutely.
And my production would be nothing without half these guys. So, with half these people.
And that means a lot.
Say.
And it means a lot. You keep asking us to do this with you. And,
we don't
take that lightly at all.
Yeah, and this is a very hard business because lately a lot of things are going down further. So there's no money. Everybody wants things shot for free. You know, I've been working with my friend Nick, and with N2 Media, and he's doing everything for free. And he maybe gets couple hundred bucks here and there from a sponsor because there's no money, but we love what we do.
Mm-hmm.
We really love what we
do.
And
that's what people can see. See that when you turn on one of our broadcasts,
and it is
I
hard
mean, besides
work.
The comedy factor
with us having to deal with us, but
you see the whole thing put together thanks to you guys.
We all work together, you guys make me sound dumb because I don't know calls. You could tell me that this, and this, but I have to work off of all you guys. Calling as a commentator makes my job easy.
But I think you can provide a lot more insight.
But I'm good with I'm good with visuals.
Yeah, totally.
I know what looks good.
Producing, yes. So coming from a coach and like you being a producer, I think you can provide a lot more knowledge, especially to high school kids that are listening, especially if they're listening for their shout out and stuff. You deal with a lot of personalities. You deal with a lot of good personalities. You deal with a lot of bad personalities. You deal with a lot of people that need to learn how to be in front of a camera, whether that's good or bad. And you can provide those things to those guys, whether it's like unsolicited, gold information on how not to look like a dummy.
That's
camera.
Where I shine.
Not to sound
totally.
Not to say something dumb or not to be so arrogant or not to, realize how many people are watching.
I'm working with a gal right now that's just starting in ESPN. Grace, you guys met Grace. She was on replay.
Yeah.
She just started she wanted to be a sideline reporter.
Mm-hmm.
And I became her mentor because my boss up in ESPN says, I don't want you to direct this time. I want you to be on camera for a while because I want you to help her. And to get emails from her saying, hey, I don't know what I'd do without you, But, I'm taking my time with them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's just like I tell people, just be you. Be yourself,
Okay.
Going back to David, same thing. First day, he might have been a little nervous. Then all of a sudden, I never forget. He's just sitting back there with his leg up, and he's just calling the game.
In a very nice vest. Yeah. That's very well said, Bobby.
And the clothing.
And we're going to get into it a little bit more later. We talk about wrestling production with you and Bobby.
There'll be more Bobos sooner rather than later.
Don't worry about me, Mike.
We have some more NFL to go over.
Yeah, it's time for the NFL.
Time for some football.
Get in, buddy.
This is where I go to sleep.
For me, I feel like we're Stranger Things just ended their run. I feel like we're living in the upside down of NFL. When the playoffs are coming, we're going to have no Chiefs, no Andy Reid, no Baltimore, no John Harbaugh, no Lamar Jackson, no Tampa Bay, no Baker Mayfield in these playoffs.
It's true.
And it's it. Take that away, David. Where do you go
on that? The biggest thing, there's one team that's got the big bullseye on their back in the AFC. That's the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen.
Yep.
There's no Mahomes in your way. There's no Jacks in your way. This is your time to shine. If you're going to be that.
If he's going to get to that Super Bowl, here's the time to get it.
He's not the one. Yes, right. And that's hard. Their defense.
Mile high.
Having to go through Sean Payton, defense, a quarterback who knows not to screw up how not to screw up games. That's going to be huge, too. But the Bills, they may not be the division champs, but they're still there.
Oh, yeah.
And they have a direct path to get through there, through to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, no, for sure. And so we'll go right into our predictions, who we think will be in the Super Bowl. We'll start off there.
All right.
The Jets.
that would be a no.
Oh, you wish.
Oh, my goodness.
We'll start with Rex. Who's going to be in the Super Bowl?
Yeah, Rex. And it's not the Giants. I'm sorry, bro.
Yeah, that's the rough part.
That's the problem. I'm a Giant fan.
Oh, we'll get into the Giants in
a second. We'll get there. Yeah, we got some promise.
Who you got in the Super Bowl, Bobby? All right, Patrick, you got a Super Bowl prediction?
No.
Nope. All right. Good. All right. Moving on. I love it. There we go. You know, preseason, I had Bills.
Broncos
is a solid pick. Go with the number one seed in the AFC. Preseason, I had Bills versus Eagles. Both of those things are relatively still possible.
Yeah, still there.
But I think their roads are incredibly difficult as far as I'm seeing right now. I actually do agree with Bobby on that Broncos pick. I think their defense is going to be really hard to match up against, and I think they can take that to any team in the AFC. And right now, preseason, I would have no idea that we're going to be talking about the Seahawks and Bears being the top two seeds in the NFC.
So
for me, I'm looking at a rematch in the Super Bowl, the Seahawks versus the Broncos, and see how that falls down if we had that 43-8 win for the Seahawks back there with Russell Wilson at the helm.
Yeah, back in the day,
Mikey.
I was when we were talking about preseason picks, I was going with a rematch of the Chiefs and the Eagles. Of course, that's not going to happen. But I'm not even going Eagles. I got to go Seahawks versus the Bills.
Ooh, I like it.
I think Josh is going to get his one chance. To get something in there.
Yeah, and good luck. You have to go against Leonard Williams and Byron Murphy. Good luck with that, guys.
I know, but he's swag, man.
I'm gonna go with quick one here with the what I wish would happen, and it would be Jaguars taking on the Packers would be the game I wish would happen.
That'd be intriguing.
But realistically, my game, I'm going to be a non-homer over here. I'm going to say Rams-Bills.
Ooh!
You know what's funny is, so my preseason I had Ravens-Eagles, but I 100% agree with Rex. My picks are the Rams over the Bills because I go, if you're going to do it, Alan, this is the year to do it. And I think two wild card teams are going to be there because it's been so unpredictable. If you look at experience,
two best quarterbacks in the playoffs.
Last thing about this before more topics, Macy. The Seahawks don't have to leave the West Coast.
They don't.
They got the home field, and then the Super Bowl's in Santa Clara. And
I get more work.
So here's the thing, too. I wanted to bring up, what two harder places to have to win to go to the Super Bowl than to have to go to Seattle or have to go play in Mile High?
Yeah, but then again, I mean, home field isn't like what it used to be.
But the air is thinner in Mile High.
Yeah.
The ground shakes in Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's just so many different things that happen.
I agree, but last few years, home field, I mean, look when the Bengals made their run. It's just not as sexy as it used to be.
Right, and with the Seahawks, they've done most of their incredible play on
the road.
Yeah,
they're a little better on the road
and only 6-2 at home.
But if you ask them,
they want that game at home. They want all of those games at home.
And it will go nuts.
And then not having to do all that travel and not have, when you're having to deal with Super Bowl stuff.
They're probably like crossing their fingers like Panthers.
Probably. Plus, on that note as well, they earned this right. And I think that's going to make a big difference to them when they're playing for it by beating the Niners in that last game. They earned the right to not have to travel to the East Coast and not have that going on. Yeah. And I think that's going to make a big difference for them.
Yeah. All right, Macy, what's next?
Now we're going to go to NFL awards, and we'll start right with the main one with the MVP right now. It is a close race, but for me, doing my digging and watching, my pick is Matthew Stafford. He's number one in touchdowns, 46 on the season. He's number one in passing yards, 4,707. He's tied for first in interceptions with 8. And he's number two in rating at 109.2.
Wow. That's a resume, man. That's a resume.
It's tough. I know Drake May's in there as well, but I did look at that. May has 15 less touchdowns than Stafford.
Wow.
So I think he's also had a little less asked of him than Stafford in the level, which is, I think, a point in Stafford's favor. You can't say that he hasn't put up the performance. But Drake May is, to me, the bigger difference on a team that has accomplished more this year than the Rams did. The Rams had a path to get there, and they didn't. They had big losses to the Falcons and the Panthers. Mm-hmm. And to me, you don't see that on Drake May's resume. And I think that's why I'm putting him out there as a little bit more of a possibility than that. But we're also you were talking about for MVP, right?
Yeah, MVP.
Yeah, I think for me MVP is Drake May, but offensive player of the year is Matthew Stafford. I do agree with that. I think his performance, you can't question what the numbers he's put up this year.
So my offensive player of the year, I'm actually going super close there. Well, Mike, were you?
I don't really have too much. All I was going to say was Drake May didn't have a Puka Nacua to throw to.
Or Davante Adams.
Yeah.
Right.
My offensive player of the year, it's another razor close one. I'm going with two receivers there. And I actually am picking Jackson Smith Najigba, but he's super razor close with Puka Nacua there. Yeah. The numbers are there. Like Najigba's number four in receptions. He's number one in receiving yards. And he's tied for sixth in receiving touchdowns. But I feel like Jackson has been a little bit more consistent as the season has gone. Puka's got hot really lately. And I look at the quarterbacks of who's throwing each guy the ball, and I think Stafford is more proven than Sam Darnold. So I got Najigba by a hair on offensive player of the year.
Also, again, I look at the last portion of the season for the Rams. Nacua got hot, but it didn't come with a bunch of wins. Yeah. And I think that makes – Jackson Smith and Jigba, not only has he led a team or helped lead a team to go on a 7-game winning streak to close out the season, he's also convinced everyone to pronounce his name correctly. And that's not a small thing when you've got a name like that. And I think he has a great case for that, along with a guy like Christian McCaffrey. And that's so there's a deep pool of guys that you can go to for that offensive player of the year.
Yeah, Christian would be a good choice for comeback player of the year, too, with the injury.
Oh, yeah, this was the most he's played in a long time, ironically, because the Niners were all banged up.
Yeah, my defensive player of the year, I think that's more of a runaway with my guy who broke the NFL record, Myles Garrett.
I wonder.
23 sacks, right, which is first in the league. He's also number one in the league in tackles for losses with 33. He's tied for second in forced fumbles with 3, and he does also have 60 tackles on top of that. Myles was just he had NFL coaches go out in the press and say they've never had to game plan for one certain player except Myles Garrett, which is a big compliment.
He's dominant.
I think he's this generation's Lawrence Taylor. I'm the more I watch him play, it's getting to that
or
point.
Or Reggie White.
Reggie White is even,
Bruce Smith was one of his mentors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's all right there. Absolutely. He's all right there. We've talked about him. When he broke the record a month ago.
They didn't make it easy
back
on him the last few weeks. Yeah. It was tough.
Yeah. So.
Offensive Rookie of the Year is really difficult. There's a few candidates there, but I'm actually going to go with Teteroa McMillan, wide receiver, Carolina. 70 receptions, third amongst rookies. He was number one in yards, 1,014, and he was tied for number one in receiving touchdowns. One play also in particular, going back to that Tampa game, which was huge with the division on the line, there was a play where they were 4th and 19, and he caught 34-yard reception to get him inside the 5, which ended up being a Coker reception. But Teteroa was, again, when we talked about consistency on the season, he was my pick. You could also have a good argument for Trevion Henderson and also for Jackson Dart. My only thing with Jackson is he missed a lot of time with injury, but he put up some nice numbers for the Giants as well.
Yeah, I think if you're going based on talent alone and what they showed during the season, he's shown that that's a spot that the Giants have locked up going forward.
Well, let's get a quick take from Giants boy about Jackson.
Jackson
but
Dart?
We're running out of time. Give me a quick take.
I think it goes without saying that he's the only guy drafted that shows the promise to change an entire franchise. It's the only one being mentioned in those names, because you aren't talking about it with Ward, you aren't talking about it with any of the guys that they had to turn to when the vets got hurt. But Jackson Dart is changing a franchise.
And his defensive player of the year, even a defense rookie of the year, is that even a question?
Carson Schlesinger, Cleveland.
Oh my gosh, you want that over Nicky Minori?
Yeah, 156 tackles, okay. Six of
the
league.
So anyway, these two will fight. While we go to break.
Wait,
yeah.
Swearinger?
And in this corner.
For Cleveland?
Anyway, so yes, we are going to break now. We will be back shortly, and we will see you soon.
If you would like to help save cats and kittens in the Vancouver, Portland area, Furry Friends would love your support. For more information on fostering, adopting, volunteering, or donating to our Vancouver nonprofit, please visit furryfriendswa.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, Douglas Rockefeller here for Roundtable Pro Wrestling, New Beginnings Volume 2, December to Dismember, live Sunday, December 7th at the new House of Action, American Legion Hall, Post 176, doors open at 5:30, first bells at 6 p.m. See you there.
Welcome back to your final segment here on KXRW Sports Talk from the COOV. To follow us along as we go on through this more of this year, as we celebrate 2026, check out our Instagram page at From the COOV, and or you can send us an email at kxrwsportstalk@gmail.com if you have any things that we maybe should cover in our future episodes, or any other comments that you'd like to chime in. We maybe will read them on the air for you. All right, we are going to send it over to David for a final segment on the NFL as far as what happened with coaching this year.
Yeah, so before we go into the firings, we're going to go to our coach of the year. And this is probably the toughest decision to make on who we think should be coach of the year, because I'll name some candidates who are all worthy of that. You got Mike Vrabel in New England. You got Mike McDonald in Seattle. You got Liam Cohen in Jacksonville. You got Sean Payton in Denver. You can even throw in Ben Johnson in Chicago. And then even a small with Shanahan in San Francisco because of all the injuries, but I would say one of the lower ones. Back in the day, they had a co-MVP award where two quarterbacks won it the same year. This is the same time where I would give a tie my coach of the year for two candidates. And I look at, like, the expectations coming to the season, changing the culture, and wins and losses, and it was extremely close because first I wanted to go Ben Johnson, but I changed it. I have a tie between Vrabel in New England and McDonald in Seattle. It was so tough with these choices, but those are who I'm choosing for my coach of the year.
And it's funny. I think when they got hired, they were like the two slam dunk candidates for those teams when they got hired. I mean, they were really tops for it, and they're paying off for those two teams. I mean, I'll go to bat for Ben Johnson all day as far as changing the culture of the Bears and leading them to the number two overall seed, and then just not only that, but vanquishing the Green Bay Packers along the way.
When you think, too, in the beginning of the year, where did everybody think Chicago was going to be in the division? Either third or fourth, because Parsons came in Green Bay and what Detroit did last year. It is really remarkable of what he was able to do with Chicago.
Okay, but, you know, like you were talking about, but where were the Seahawks picked?
And that's, again, they changed all their offensive guys.
They were third in the NFC. Yeah.
If they gave, as much as we want to give credit to the coach, if they gave a GM award, they would have to go to
That's where I was going.
They changed the identity of their franchise within a year.
Yeah, and the thing was they overhauled the defense in the middle of last season.
Yeah.
I've never seen it before where they just – he, like, wholesale five or six dudes in the middle of the year.
Right.
See ya.
And then bring in Leonard Williams. And,
won over 10 games last year, and then this year it all clicked.
They lambasted him for letting DK go, and now look at it.
And Geno Smith. They were like, what are you doing? You don't
lock it.
Lock
it.
The best receiver in the league. All they did was give the position to the best receiver in the league that they had already drafted.
Well, and they, you know, it all started with the Russell Wilson trade with the extra picks.
Yeah.
And that's where Schneider, and I thought he was just trying to save his butt when he was like, Pete needs to go, but I can stay. But he's earned it.
Yeah. I'll give you two more candidates for Coach of the Year, just because you didn't mention them. I think Sean Payton has done a great job with Denver and deserves credit for getting them to the number one seed. But also D'Amico Ryans with the Houston Texans to overcome come from behind and overcome the Indianapolis
Colts.
That's
my dark horse.
It really is. It just, the defense that he's built there allows a guy like CJ Stroud to do his work on the offensive side, and they've dominated in the second half of the season.
You got to shout out the Panthers fella as well. Yeah. I mean, those guys were in the
hole. Dave Canales?
Yeah, those guys were in the hole. They were like, they were questioning whether or not that quarterback was a bust.
Yes. Yeah, they benched him. Right. They benched him the year before.
All right, anything else, Macy?
And we're just going into some coaches. You know, there's a lot of coaching firings this offseason. There's some big names out there. And as a Cleveland Browns fan, I would love to have John Harbaugh to take it to the Ravens.
That's a great idea. I'll agree with you.
Yeah, I mean, we had that game between the Steelers and the Ravens. Was that the fired coach bowl?
Well, the rumor was the loser of that game.
Right. I would take either one of them.
The little pick on Twitter was, they showed the three things. In the middle of the goalpost was – Harbaugh gets fired. Mm-hmm. Wide left or right was Tomlin gets fired.
And we're still not sure if he doesn't get
fired.
Yeah,
exactly. They're still talking about
sure if he doesn't vice get fired. Versa,
well,
but
right,
you
with,
get it.
With a guy like Harbaugh available and other guys that are out there, is this now the time for Mike Tomlin to convince him to step away? Is this you can step away after you got your win versus getting fired?
Well, Tomlin, the Steelers aren't going to go after Harbaugh, and here's why.
No,
they just don't.
The Steelers pick a young guy, and they stick with him for years
decades.
And years and
years. They've only had three coaches in over 50 years of existence.
Exactly. And zero losing seasons at a time.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They're all champions. Yeah. They're all champions.
Yeah.
That's the other thing, too.
But, you know, some Steeler fans are like, he's mediocre Mike. You know, 19 years over 500, but one Super Bowl chip early in that run.
I know that team so well because I hate them with a passion.
Yeah.
But he has not had the most talented rosters. And
right.
The best
you handed
of it,
him
though.
Kenny Pickett after Roethlisberger
Mason
retired.
Rudolph.
Yeah. Mason Rudolph. You were banking on Mason Rudolph?
Yeah, and then now
Justin Fields.
And Rodgers. I don't know how
and Rodgers,
he's even
he
doing
won't be
it.
There next year. So he'll move on to another team by next
There's
season.
There's still that out. That
Bring
he
back
came
Flacco.
Out, he came out in the media and said that he wants to stay. So I think that influences the fact that Tomlin might not get fired.
Mm-hmm.
If both of them are a package deal, they'll both stay, or one will go to a new team and the other one will get fired. It's one or the other, though.
I think I saw right after the season they were speculating like seven jobs were going to become available. Does Mike McDonald getting fired – or not Mike – sorry, John Dan. Harbaugh. Does John Harbaugh getting fired change that math for a bunch of teams that were like on the fence about whether they were –
in Miami.
With the Washington Commanders and Dan Quinn that mm-hmm. you know who barely – you know who did get that last win over Detroit – you know, you're thinking, oh, he saved his job by getting that last win, and maybe next season with Jaden Daniels would be good. Do they start changing that thought there? Did the Atlanta Falcons, did they clean house because they think they can maybe get John Harbaugh to come down there with Bijan Robinson? And
Who knows?
Is there other teams that are maybe looking at their situation a little closer just in case?
Absolutely.
And that they can add a guy like Harbaugh.
And it's just going to be harder and harder for fans of the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets, because now these coaches that you want have to go down to Miami first for an interview.
You got
have
it.
To go to have yes. to go to the other New York for an interview.
There's
have
more.
To go to Atlanta for an interview. There are so many more appealing jobs. Even going down to Vegas sounds a little bit better.
There's more
than going and being a coach of the New York Jets.
There's more sexy places.
Well, and then there's another job like
at least
Baltimore.
Harbaugh's family's from Cleveland.
Oh, there you go.
It is.
So
that's your
we'll
that,
give
I mean,
you that.
So
that's your end.
Who do they want to take to replace that Kevin Stefanski?
Andrew Barry is a very underrated general manager. He gets a lot of slack for that Deshaun Watson thing, but I think that's more on Haslam there. But look at the draft Cleveland had, like, of players for starters in this class. And they're really going to take their time and get the right guy that they – because in my eyes, we haven't had stability there in coaching for a long time before Stefanski.
Yeah.
So I was on the fence either way. Like, I understood why they let him go, but I wouldn't have been mad if they would have gone because of what we had. All I know is the next guy who comes in, I'm going to be more crucial towards because I like Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good coach to have to replace. Just really, really briefly – so they have Shedeur Sanders there at quarterback in Cleveland.
No.
What I want
is there a guy maybe that they might get to do a little pairing, a little father son coach and QB situation.
I'm sure he'd like to get his hands in that. Maybe quarterback's coach at best.
I've
but,
got something for you, actually.
I want to rebuild the whole offensive line in the draft, though.
I've got some. Here's the thing. Is you hold on to those young guys that you've got, and you maybe, yeah, sure. But you play the guy that you're paying a crazy amount of money
he
for.
He might play.
That used to be a Pro Bowler. That, he honestly, what are you going to do? Lose more and get your chance at a better quarterback in the draft?
I don't want a quarterback in this class.
No, yeah. You don't draft one this year.
Yep.
But you play Deshaun Watson. You're paying him so much freaking money, and nobody's going to trade for him. Play him.
They're going to get him a chance to compete.
All Ouch. Right. We're going to. Okay. That's great. We're going to bring it back down to local. Mike Kreskin.
Yeah, it's time. So we've gone through all these things, and now it's time to talk.
Wrestling. It's Royal Rumble season.
That's right.
I just woke up.
Yeah. Royal Rumble season. Anywho, Patrick, take it away, sir.
Oh, you're letting me have the mic.
You got it, man.
Well, about 2 years ago, we had Brian Danielson come into the studio a couple times, and I was saying that, this was 2 years ago, I was saying that I think this is the best time to be a wrestling fan since the 90s, because there's so much content, and WWE's firing on all cylinders. I can't say that 2 years later. WWE has gone a direction ever since the TKO and Netflix era in a way that's just, it's, you all know what gentrification is, right?
Oh, yeah. I've heard of it.
Yeah, gentrification is, you know, when in a neighborhood where, you know, a local low-income neighborhood, and some investor comes in and pushes all the people that made the neighborhood special out. I feel like that's what's happened with WWE. It no longer feels like the type of entertainment that a working-class, blue-collar fan can enjoy. I feel like they are saying, no, we want these certain high-income people. They've straight up said it. There's lead executive business people who said that we are trying to price our tickets higher. We don't think we've reached the full potential of it. So they're basically saying, yeah, we are trying to price out all the fans.
Which Vince McMahon did not
want to
do.
And it's, as David Macy was saying, the Royal Rumble season, it's Riyadh Rumble this year. They're heading to Saudi Arabia for the Royal Rumble, you know, and then next year WrestleMania is supposed to be at the Royal Rumble, and there's a lot of talks that are
in
basically...
Riyadh, sorry, and they're going to be in Riyadh.
In Riyadh. And there's a lot of talks that, you know, WWE, which is currently owned by Endeavor and TKO, might be sold to Saudi Arabia in the next couple years. That, a lot of people in the business are saying that's the way it's going. And so... as a kind of a disgruntled, bitter fan, there is a part of me that still has a fandom to pro wrestling. As we mentioned at the top of the show, that, you know, I'm a part of the Wizards of Wrestling radio show here at KXRW. I do commentary that we broadcast on KXRW for Roundtable Pro Wrestling. We got one half of the tag team champions of Roundtable Pro Wrestling here, Rip Rex.
Woohoo!
And
shout out to Kylan Rowan. And the son of America.
The local independent scene that guys like Bobby P help put on, that is keeping my fandom going. The fact that there's still a strong independent scene going, and that I am a part of it and being a part of this radio show talking about it, keeps a little bit of that wrestling fandom alive.
Nice. We'll take it.
So is there something that they could do to immediately change that? What does that look like for you, a product that you are proud of to be a wrestling fan again?
That is a good question. I feel like the biggest I mean, it's a very slick production. The advertisements everywhere is kind of that in itself is just kind of an eyesore.
Yeah, you've mentioned that. Disturbing. Yes.
What about AEW? How do you feel about AEW right now, their product?
I like that AEW is there as an alternative. And to AEW, to not their fault, I mean, I've talked about this before, WWE at this point in the game, they're always going to be the top dog. Just like NFL is always going to be the NFL. There's never going to be another league that's going to go over the NFL. the Super Bowl is always going to be the biggest football game of the year.
Yep.
WWE's got that. So having companies like AEW and our local Roundtable Pro Wrestling, having them do as well as they can isn't going to take away anything from WWE's mojo. Nothing's going to take that spotlight. So when AEW tries to do a show, their kind of their version of WrestleMania, WWE comes in and counter-programs it. And I just find that very bully behavior.
Yeah.
AEW doing well isn't going to take any mojo away from WWE. It's just not.
Vince used to do it,
but WCW used to do it as well. Yeah. I mean, pretty much all of your major wrestling promotions have done this to each other for four decades now.
But this, the counter-promoting thing is eventually going to die in itself because everything is being streamed now.
And
so
that,
in a day, you can watch just live numbers doesn't mean
that,
anything
that's
anymore.
That's kind of my argument.
Not like it used to be.
Like, so you can, in a day, you can watch the one complete pay-per-view, stay up and watch the other one, or watch it the next day.
And that actually,
you're still going to get the view.
Yeah, that's kind of like, it's not like in the 90s where if you're watching WCW, you are missing Monday Night Raw. I mean, the way technology is right now, as you're saying, you can watch everything. There's no need to counter program. If someone's going to want to watch it, they are going to watch it.
Yeah.
And I just think it's them trying to flex and be top dog, which that spot is not going to get taken away. It's not going to happen.
Right.
Everybody, when people think of pro wrestling, they think of WWE. They just, you know, and that's through years of building that brand and instead of just letting all the fans, I feel like, that got them to the point where they're at, I feel like the fans that got them are saying, all right, see ya. We don't want you anymore. We want these top dollar investors and tech pros and guys that can afford $10,000 front row seats.
Well, it's kind of like when your favorite band gets big.
Yeah.
TV. You don't like the fan base anymore.
The NBA.
Because you're like, I was there from the first hour.
That is a very good analogy. Well, yeah.
TV's starting to go down. I see it just in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Like
absolutely.
Even, you know, basketball.
Yeah.
They're like the Blazers and I think a Midwest team is the only one that carries their on-the-road productions now.
Right.
Everything else is going to the internet.
Well, mm-hmm. And the major cities are handing tickets over to celebrities. They're like, hey, please sit in the first two rows.
Totally.
And they're doing it in football. They're like, hey, come hang out on the sideline. It's going everywhere.
Oh, you think?
WWE is doing the same
thing. You just think in production when we work for different football teams, mm-hmm. and I travel, everything is, all the cameras, if you notice, are built high and down.
Yeah.
Because they do not want to see front rows. And they don't want to see anything, no blank seats. You realize, like, why aren't we down on the field? Why aren't we? No, they want everybody up top shooting down. They don't want to see the crowd dwindling.
It's that view that was invented in Madden.
Yeah.
You saw it happen in Madden, and then they carried it over to the XFL, and then they carried it over to the NFL.
Good call on the XFL.
It's companies like mine that are starting to get places because – nobody's going to spend a half a million. I mean, it costs the Blazers $500,000 a game to produce.
Yeah.
Why? You know, they could go to a college company. Mm-hmm. I work for PSU. We could possibly be looking at, you know, some kind of award this year because we're using college students.
Yes.
Nice.
And we're producing just as good as they are.
Yeah, motivated, hungry college students. Guys
but I don't want to get away from that. I want to stay on wrestling.
So speaking of motivated and hungry, talk about the big event, Mr. Rex, Patrick.
So on the 11th, we've got a big show coming up for the New Year's coming up. I meant the one you did.
I want to talk about what you did, sir.
The dismemberment.
So we recently had a show. Myself and Kylan took on Monster Nation for the tag team championships. We came out on top on that one.
Yes.
Shout out to Bad Blood. Got the assist on that.
I couldn't make that one.
It was a fun time. I talked about this earlier, but we not only had to deal with the two monsters in the ring, but Chris Crowley was walking around and circling the ring like a shark. Anytime, anytime you left a limb hanging out, anytime you hung out outside the ring a little too long, he was gonna get a hold of you and he was gonna beat on you.
Wow.
And that's a near 7 foot tall man that found his way to get his licks in.
So
when there's three guys working together, the ref's gonna get distracted.
Yeah. And Patrick and Connor, what was the key to these guys coming out on top?
Persistence, my thing.
Yeah, I mean, chopping down a tree, you just had to keep hacking and hacking, especially with Widowmaker.
Well, Rip, and you've been going for the gold since the beginning of the promotion started, and so I know each loss that came where you were tasting the gold but not quite there. I know that just made you that much more hungrier for when it came, and so yeah. this was your time to shine.
This is good stuff.
It was an absolute
round table.
It was not only the first one for the company, but it's the first time I've held a belt since I started wrestling. It's the first championship.
Awesome. Oh wow, yeah.
Awesome.
So it's very special. It's great to hold it with Kylan, who I went to high school with. We've known each other for quite a long time. Kind of just worked out to being a team. But we've got a big task in front of us. We always got to look ahead. The captain is always looking ahead, yep. And we've got to take him on again. But this time, Chris Crowley's part of the team. This time, it's Crowley and Widowmaker. We got
Mr. Crowley.
I don't have much film on those guys.
Is it like the Freebird rule? Is it like the Freebird rule where they have
Sounds like Darkness is dealing with an injury and they don't want to lose their chance at
Demolition
the
when they brought in Crush.
Yeah.
Well, I mentioned on
they're about as smart as Demolition.
I mentioned on Wizards of Wrestling that some people say the easy part is winning the championship. Now you got the hard part, and that's keeping it.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to the teams we get to find. I'm looking forward to who we get to face next. It's an open invite to teams to come down to Roundtable Pro Wrestling and try to earn yourself a spot with the gold.
Yeah, and that's something I was really excited to see. They got starting off this year, Roundtable really got right out in front of it. They've got a number of events already planned, scheduled, set up to go. Yeah. They've got one every month, including one that's going to go head-to-head against on Super Bowl Sunday. That'll be their next event after the show.
And tagging off you, Patrick, is the reason why I do all this is because I love local.
Mm-hmm.
I love local. And this local.
And
wrestling.
I just want to let's just like take a moment. Like, we got Rip Rex, who's a Vancouver local, who's tag team champions with another Vancouver local. We're on a Vancouver radio station, talking about a Vancouver pro wrestling promotion, and it's just. It's kind of really neat to be a part of. I'm always very humbly, humbly grateful to be a part of it.
Yeah, and if you come on this show, we've shown you can be champion. You come on this show, we make champions here on KXRW Sports Talk from the Coup.
We make dreams come true.
And I'm going to close it with this. So Rex, next time you bring the title, the belt, whatever it's going to be, I hope it's going to be as cool as the trophy the Pop-Tart Bowl winner had. That had the little toaster in the top where you could toast the Pop-Tart and eat it.
You know what? If I happen to win that cup that Crowley's carrying around that earns me a champion, like I'm going to replace
Can
it
you
with
make
something
it?
Cool like that.
That'd there be, we
go.
Hashtag
my version of it. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
So metal.
Absolutely. Thank you so much to Rip Rex for coming in the studio. Thank Patrick, you. David Mace. Bobby Pallotta from BP Media,
Bobby
thank
P.
you so much for joining us in studio alongside Mike Gresky and our producer extraordinaire and plenipotentiary Connor Flynn. Thank you so much
for
joining us on From the Coup.
And have a good night. Stay safe. And we'll catch you soon.
Happy, happy, joy, joy.